And I'm Harold Fisher. We're discussing tonight how parents and students can best adjust to the freshman year of college. My guests are Dr. Jerry Dyson, a specialist in adolescent medicine and author of An Apple a Day Takes the Drama Away, and Wilson Bland, dean of Howard University's Office of Residence Life. We'd like to hear from parents tonight who have experiences with their young people going to college. What have you learned? What would you have done differently? Good and the bad. Love to hear from you at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Valerie from Fort Washington, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. Yes, I am a new, fresh, I have an athletic, and he's gone maybe about 2 hours away to Shenandoah University, and it was very hard for me to realize that all of the contact from the university went straight to his email and me getting the information, or I guess for him to have the permission to give me the information needed. He's an athlete, and going early was a good transition. It wasn't good for me because I only had 2 minutes before to say goodbye. But even listening and hearing other parents talk about their transition has helped me. I know his high school, our moms, football moms, have a group text, and we reach out to each other and support each other daily on how all the young men football players were doing throughout this transition.
Wow. So how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling okay. He talks to his dad maybe every day. I'm trying to get him to text me once in a while, but, you know, it's still a transition.
I guarantee he's probably going to be just fine. He's probably got great parents. So just hang in there, Valerie, and make sure you go to those football games.
If you can. Surely will.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Horace. Calling from, hey, how are you? What's going
I'm
on?
I'm in it to win it.
Why do you say that?
Because that's what it is.
Okay.
That's what it's going to be.
So what's on your mind?
Another day above ground, another day of living, another day of believing.
Okay.
And I'm gone.
Okay. Well, I think that's...
And guess what?
What's that, Horace?
I'm getting ready to get remarried.
Okay.
My little wifey lived right across the hall from me.
Okay. Well, Horace, I hope that you have great nuptials and treat her well. Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Heidi, calling from Hagerstown. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just explaining to the young lady that when your child enters into college, years ago in high school, you were trained how to balance a checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
You were trained how to manage your credit cards. And I know when you get into college, the credit card people are coming at you in all different angles. And with your parents not being there, your children may fill out that little tiny application online. They have all these credit cards after a year of being in college, and then the parent is like, oh my.
Wow, that's... What about that, Dean Bland? That I've forgotten all about the big credit card push. How do you tell students to deal with that?
Well, I remember when I first came to college, I saw that same experience. And the thing is all about, you know, telling or alerting your child about financial responsibility, and then letting them know, or parents are actually giving their child a credit card and saying use for emergencies, and then monitoring their credit card so they don't have to go and get a credit card or something like that. But a lot of the university are monitoring what companies or banks and companies come onto the campus to make sure that they're not taking advantage of the student.
But that can't necessarily stop the students from doing it on their own, though.
Yeah, that's true. But the thing is, if you know, as a parent, if you're talking to your child about their future as well as their financial future as well, those things kind of stay in their head, and they think about that before they go in and sign off on something like that.
Dr. Dyson, what is in your mind, the biggest mistake that parents make as they send their children off to college?
I'm glad you asked. I had a list. Mm-hmm. One was, and you mentioned it just a second ago, was talking to the kid about avoiding credit card debt. That is the number one place where teenagers start incurring a lot of debt in addition to their school indebtedness. And so it just accumulates from that point. And the interest rates on the credit cards that these kids apply for in school and colleges are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing that parents do not warn, especially like you mentioned earlier, if you have a family member or a parent who has not been to college, who is dropping their kid off, they're not thinking of that. But make certain that you mention to them to avoid applying for any credit card. Contact us or your family, extended family, if you need money, but do not apply for those credit cards. The other thing is most parents wait to the last minute when they're at the dorm packing up about to leave to talk about, to have the quote-unquote sex talk. And we talk about that all the time on your show, Harold.
Mm-hmm.
But parents have to engage their kids before they get to college, because many of them, not everybody has already had sex by that point, but if you're waiting until college to have a sex talk or throwing condoms at your son, it is absolutely too late. You want to have a sensible conversation with them. And the other thing I want to mention is if you have a child who has medical issues, you'd be surprised how many teenagers I've seen in my office who are on college by themselves and they don't know the medications that they're on, and they have chronic medical conditions. So if you're a parent who has a child who has medical issues, please make certain your child is aware of what medicines they're on, the names of those medicines, and why they're taking them.
Hmm. And you're nodding your head, Dean Bland.
Yeah, because the thing is, establishing a budget, you know, having a budget and understanding that, just like Dr. Dyson indicated about, you know, if you need finances, you know, communicate. That communication with your parent and understanding what you're trying to get and what you're trying to buy, that's important. Also, universities, a lot of times if you have a sickness or some type of ailment, you know, they communicate that with the health services and let them know some of the, you know, things just in case they need certain types of medicine and things of that nature. So that's important.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. By the way, Heidi, thank you so much for your comments. Let's go to Sabrina. Sabrina calling from Maryland. Sabrina, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Sabrina?
Thank you.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I was listening to your show, and I just dropped my son off this weekend down at North Carolina A&T.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to share my experience dealing with my son. His whole senior year, my husband and I, we were proactive as to, you know, signing up for financial aid, getting his finances together, talking with him all throughout his senior year about what to, you know, what we expect out of him, what he should expect. And when it was the time when we dropped him off on campus, we felt really good because we know we prepared not only ourselves for this, but we prepared our son for this. And he's really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we, again, we felt really great about this experience.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear
yeah.
that, and I hope and I'm sure that he's going to do well. Of course, North Carolina A&T, another, you know, great HBCU, so I'm sure he's going to get a great experience and a great education. So I certainly, Sabrina, thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Ricky. Ricky calling from Richmond, Virginia. What's on your mind, Ricky?
Yes, good evening, everyone. I went through this last year. My wife and I went through this last year. My daughter went to Temple University.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a talk with her before. She was a little nervous. She was worried about making new friends. So we encouraged her, and I gave her some life experiences. But as a father, my main concern was her security. And when we moved her in, there were plenty of Philadelphia police. There were plenty of Temple police. Her dorm was spectacular. So I was also worried about her getting around Philadelphia. But I will say that she communicated with us very good. She called me during the day. She texted me. We tangled each other. So she did a good job in communicating. We talked to her. I sent her greeting cards to encourage her. And there was a bank account that we had for that I could put money in that we could handle finances safely. So I'm very proud of her. She got to know Philadelphia good, and it was a good experience. A little nerve-wracking. I pouted all the way back down I-95, but
that's about normal.
Well, Ricky, again, thank you so much for your phone call, and I'm glad to hear that your daughter is doing fine. Dr. Dyson, let's talk about something that a lot of parents do not expect, and that is the change that happens with their student after sometimes that first semester or even that first year. What is that about? What happens?
I think with most young people, when they're entering that stage of adolescence, what happens is you're still trying to identify your own autonomy. So many teenagers will, you know, we've had girls who go off to college, we send them off to college, they come back after the first semester, they shaved all their hair off. Or you'll have kids that go away and they'll come back and their sexual orientation, the expression of their sexual orientation is different. So for parents, what I would encourage them to do is not be alarmed, because, you know, it's the pendulum swinging like I always describe it. Kids are going to go, they want to try to express themselves, they still have that dependence, independence thing that they're fighting with. So many of our teenagers, when they go off to school, they're going to be exploring, they're going to be experimenting. But for the parents to have some semblance of sanity when they're away from them, you want to try to maintain communication. You want to have open dialogue. When you start trying to clamp down on them too much, that's when usually they'll escape from you and they'll become more evasive, less interactive. So those are the things that I want the parents to kind of be thinking about when they're engaging. Not every child is going to do that. Not every girl who goes away shaves all her hair off. Not everybody who goes away does whatever or experiments with drugs and sex. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. But if it does occur, just be prepared as a parent for that. And know when to jump in, know when to get in the car, know when to get the plane ticket. But don't just jump at every little thing, because they're still trying to find their own voice and find their own independence.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dean Bland, you wanted to comment about that?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, parents would be good to, you know, get to know their friends, get to know their roommate, you know, get to know people that's around them, so you can, you know, they'll be open to talking and talking about things that they're experiencing. And then also, you know, just to curtail some of the worry, you know, when you're communicating with their roommate or their friends, you know, you can know that your child is safe, and maybe they're at during a study session, or they might be at an activity, and then their friends or their roommates can kind of help maneuver or kind of curtail some of that, you know, that worry.
How do you deal with the helicopter parents, that new term where parents are just hovering, whether they are literally hovering, doing the drive-by, showing up every day, calling every day, as well as those that are on email and on the internet and the like? How do you address those kind of parents?
Well, one thing I would say, you know, you got to build that trust with that parent and let them know that you're there for their child and their security and everything of that nature. I mean, the more you interact with them instead of avoiding them, you have to go ahead and interact with them, let them know and respond to their requests and some of the things that they ask is to talk about to. And you got to understand that, you know, they're nervous about their child. You know, this is their first time letting the child go. So you have to just kind of make them feel comfortable and let them know that the university is here for them and that we have the resources and all the things that's especially to keep us safe living and learning environment.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about that freshman year of college. It's not just nerve-wracking for the student. It's nerve-wracking for the parents as well. We're going to continue the conversation on the other side of this break. Kenny in Clinton, Maryland. Linda calling from Maryland. We're going to talk to you. And if you have some experiences you'd like to share with us, we're open for that as well. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about parents and students adjusting to the first year of college. My guests are Dr. Jerry Dyson, a specialist in adolescent medicine and author of An Apple a Day Takes the Drama Away, and Wilson Bland, Dean of Harvard University's Office of Residence Life. Lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kenny, calling from Clinton, Maryland. What's on your mind, Kenny?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about, you know, getting your child's grades and finding out information about them while they're in school.
Mm-hmm.
There's a document every school has. It's called the FERPA release. And
it's called the what?
The FERPA release. It's a federal law where universities agree to not to give out your children's information. Have your child sign that FERPA release to be able to release their information to you while they're in school, and then to get to know the administration, know what your child is interested in, and get to know the administration that's around those programs, and you'll always have constant contact, constant feedback with the university if you do that.
Okay, Kenny, thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. Okay, Dean, now, what is it called? Can you spell that?
FERPA.
FERPA.
Okay. FERPA waiver form. That's what it is.
FERPA. And what does it do now?
Well, it allows the student to allow for parents to get information as far as grades or financial information. Even in residence life, we have a FERPA form that students can fill out and indicate that they're allowing their parent to get that type of information.
They
can allow it or they can say no. Either way.
Okay, so Dr. Dyson, how does a parent deal with the no?
I love how you switch that over. I like to thank you for that.
Of course.
That rebound. What most young people, most early, like freshmen, sophomores, they'll sign it. You'll have more resistance probably with the junior year, senior year. And those who are unwilling to sign the FERPA waiver more than likely are not doing too well in school. So that's when it does depend on the school. There are some schools that are more not as big, smaller schools, where the parents can connect with the professors. They may not tell them exactly what's going on, but they'll have open lines of communication. So if there's anything that the parents need to be alarmed about, they'll involve the parents. But if you have a pushback where the kid is like, no, basically you're the one who's paying the tuition. So that's when you have to kind of pull that mommy card or the daddy card, like we're the ones who are, you know, paying tuition. And honestly, if you have good working dialogue with your child at the beginning, more than likely they'll sign it.
Yeah, because Dean Bland, we've heard the horror stories where, you know, mama and daddy and grandma and auntie and everybody else show up for graduation day and little Johnny and little Susie aren't walking.
That's true.
And I'm sure you've seen that happen. Is there any way to prevent something like that from happening? What advice do you give to students when they are struggling and they're about to hit that wall, even if it's not their senior year?
Yeah. Well, one thing I would say, you know, with the parents checking in as well as other mentors and other university administrators is taking interest of the student and helping them to, you know, matriculate through the university. But that communication to your parent, letting them know where you are and being honest with them, it's best to be upfront and let them know that their situation has changed based on a grade or something like that. I've seen that situation a number of times where the parents are on their way traveling to the graduation, and then talking to the student as well as other administrators talking to the student, letting them know you need to let your parents know, or is it okay to let your parents know where you are so they can kind of, you know, deal with the situation up front.
What is the thing that has surprised you most as you worked with students, whether it's in housing or freshmen? Was there anything that just, was there an aha moment for you in your capacity as a dean of residence life?
Well, I mean, just to watch the students grow, I mean, from when they first start and come to Howard University as a student, and then when they getting ready to graduate. That aha moment is when that student is excited about that graduation, you know, and getting ready to just, you know, realizing that they're about to go out into the world. But then there's some situations where I'm kind of surprised, you know, a student that might, I would think, was doing well, and then they needed some assistance, but they didn't reach out. And then they finally reach out, and then being able to give back and help them out to go on and get back on path of where they're going. That was an aha moment as well.
What about you, Dr. Dyson? You spoke about going some 1,500 miles away. Where did you go to school, undergrad?
Xavier University of Louisiana in New Orleans, Louisiana.
That's right. So another HBCU.
Yes.
So you know, when you got there, what was the biggest surprise for you personally?
The biggest surprise for me, like I was sharing earlier with your producer, is that I originally, in high school, I went to Howard University during my senior year of high school. So I was there as a full-time freshman my senior year, and it was more independent at Howard University. If you didn't show up to class, you didn't have to show up to class, but you will fail.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at Xavier, when I went there, it was a little more strict. They took roll. It kind of felt like, are you serious? We're in college. You're taking roll? But they were so strict with their academics. Not that Howard isn't strict, but it's two different flavors. And that's the other thing that parents need to be aware of. Each school, even though they're HBCUs or they're not HBCUs, every college has its own culture. And so as a parent, you need to be aware of what that culture is. I know that the students at Howard University were more world-rounded, so to speak. They were adults. A lot of them were independent. They were living on their own. Some of them were coming back to school after being married and having a family. So it just varied from campus to campus. And even as an adult, adolescent provider going to different campuses, because adolescent physicians provide college health. Many of the campuses that I go to, they just vary. The culturally, they vary from, you know, campus to campus. So that's what parents and teens need to be aware of. Just because your school, the parent school, was one way does not mean your child's school is going to be exactly like your college experience.
You know, you bring up a really interesting point. I was sitting back thinking about, you know, my freshman year, you know, at Morgan during those pre-internet days when a tablet was really a stone tablet. And I was 17 as a freshman, but I lived in a house with three other guys, and two of the guys were in their mid to late 20s. And one of the guys was 21. And I just wonder, you know, when you're talking about, for example, Morgan is a state school, but I think that I can really relate to what you were saying, Dr. Dyson, about, you know, some of the students that we see often at Howard, is that there is a kind of a maturity level that you may or may not see at, you know, at smaller schools that have smaller populations that may be even more family oriented than Howard University. But that was one of the things that did just come to mind. There were a lot of old students at Morgan, coming in, you know, as freshmen. The advantage, and some may even say disadvantage, is that back then, Dean Bland, you had, in order to get information, it was either by phone or by letter.
That's true.
And that was, you know, and that was pretty much it. Even sending money, you sent it by Western Union. You didn't have the ability to send, you know, money through apps and the like. Is that an advantage or a disadvantage when it comes to the growth, maturity, and development of young people?
You know, the thing is, I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing about the being able to communicate well and discuss things, you know, when I came to Howard, and we would talk on the phone and communicate and talk to each other face-to-face. Now everything with technology, you know, is done over the phone, iPhone, and an app and things of that nature. And you lose out in some cases, you know, to being able to communicate as well as to just check on people, you know, see how you're doing. You know, a text message sometimes is so impersonal as opposed to picking up the phone and actually talking to someone. So I don't want to say it's a total disadvantage, but to me, I think it's a disadvantage to the students of the day.
And maybe I'm just telling my age, Dr. Dyson. I remember telling one of our great interns here about, you know, expressing himself, you know, writing a letter, mm-hmm. to a young lady, as a matter of fact. And his response was, "Why would I do that?" And I realized, I really did date myself. Final mm-hmm. with some final thoughts from you, Dr. Dyson, on the best way to handle this first year, including that freshman 15. Those 15 pounds.
I forgot about the freshman mm-hmm. 15. It used to be freshman 10 2 years ago when I was in college. Mm-hmm. But now it's increased to freshman 15. And I guess eventually, as time goes on, it'll be the freshman 20. I think what happens is, like you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. when you were starting the show, you have an era of young adults who may not know how to cook. Mm-hmm. So the easiest thing is ramen noodles, or you go out to eat, or you have a lot of fast food.
Yep.
So what I also want to caution the students entering and the ones who are, upperclassmen, is to kind of watch their diet and behavior. I know you have so many other things to think about, but that is how you can avoid the freshman 15, among the other thing. And the one last word I want to encourage the adults is to really trust the values and principles that you've given your child for the past 18 years, and realize that two hours of, last-minute talk is not going to make that much of a difference, just to really trust that they've actually instilled the values that they hope their child will express.
Yes,
and just take it day by day.
Good advice for those who have young people in middle school right now who are looking, let me start right now if I haven't done it already. Dr. Jerry Dyson and Dean Wilson Bland, thank you both so much. And I hope that our students here and elsewhere have a very productive 2016. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, August 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, Glasshouse Radio.